We have been asked to speak on the topic of the wave of resurrection.
And we will look at one and on one and tell you secretly.
The wave. Like the wind, right? Zalzal. The wave of resurrection. And you know, when we speak about resurrection, resurrection means that something that had died comes back to life. Like if you had a chicken, and the chicken died, you had planned to cook it in the morning. But you wake up in the morning and you find that it is dead. Many people will just slaughter it quickly. And not tell anyone that it died. Then 1 week later, after people have eaten, you know that chicken had died before we cooked it. But now, when you say resurrection, you hold that chicken and you pray for it, and it comes back to life. Now, when you are able to do that, you have the power of resurrection. And we will say that this chicken that had died is resurrected. That is why you have to understand that the resurrection is an impossibility. To human being, it is impossible to have resurrection. There is no person that can resurrect themselves. And there is no religion that has the power of resurrection except Christianity. Only Christianity has the power of resurrection. When Muhammad was asked, he said, even him, he doesn't know. He went for the day of judgment. He does not know whether he will be accepted by God or not. That they are going to weigh his good and his bad. Now his bad, he killed people. He married small girls. Now his bad and his good, if they are weighed, can he survive?
That they say behind.
But it is only in Jesus that he rescued Suma that he said that I am going to die.
And no killing,
and after 3 days, I am going to come back alive. Is there anyone today who can say I am going to die tomorrow? And he says, don't even just die sleeping. You kill me. Come on, crucify me. Kill me publicly. Pierce my hands. Pierce me on the side. Put me in the grave. Roll the stone on the grave. Put some soldiers to guard the grave. And then say that you are going to resurrect. Now you see why we believe in Jesus. Because he told people publicly that this temple destroyed, and after 3 days I will raise him up again. He told people that I lay down my life myself and I pick it up. And no one takes it away from me. That means that he went to the grave willingly. He even told Pilate,
okay, the Pilate,
that you have no power. that, don't you know that if this moment, if I ask my father, he will send 12 legions of angels to rescue me. And so Jesus, even at the cross, he could not die. He could not die
over
until he is the one who gives up his spirit. That's why he said, Father, into my hands, into your hands I give you my spirit. That means that because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. So when we speak about resurrection, you must acknowledge that it is only a Christian doctrine. And it is the only reason why we believe. There are two things that the Christian doctrine is different about. Number one is about the law. And the grace, the message of grace. That means that it is not you that will go to heaven. It is not your good works that will take you to heaven. It is what Jesus has done that will take you to heaven. So if you believe in Jesus, it is him that will take you to heaven. That you believe that he died for your sins. That by his death we have received forgiveness of sins. And the second thing that is unique about Christianity is the message of the resurrection. And that is why Jesus had two main opposers. The Pharisees. Because those ones are preachers of the law. They are opposing the grace. And the other opposers were the Sadducees. They are opposers of the resurrection. So if you understand the grace of God, and you understand the resurrection, and you believe in it, then you are born again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want us to read something about the resurrection. Number one, we have to acknowledge that Jesus died and was buried. In Luke chapter 23, verse 50, it says that now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision and deed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews. Who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and he wrapped it in linen and he laid it in a tomb that was cut out of the rock that no one had ever laid before. And that day was the preparation on Friday, and Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee, they followed closely, and they saw how the body was laid. So Jesus, when he died, the rich man Joseph went and asked for the body, and they tied the body with linen. Now if you understand how the Jews bury someone, they will tie you properly. They will tie you properly. so that you don't wake up again.
They want to keep your spirit there.
So as they tie you properly,
then remember Lazarus.
When Lazarus died, and Jesus raised him up, for him to be removed from the linen, Jesus had to ask, please untie him. That means that when you are dying, when you are tied in that body,
you cannot come out.
You cannot untie yourself. Imagine someone is like a dead body, and then they tie you around and around and around. And this is how Jesus' body was tied. And the women watched it. And Joseph is the one who did it. And they saw how the body was laid. So that tells you
they go later.
They were sure that Jesus was dead. Some people say that, oh, Jesus was just sleeping. That he was just unconscious. But the reality is that Jesus really died. And the body was tied
properly.
But you see, the story does not end there. When Jesus died, the Bible tells us of five things that Jesus did. When he died, those 3 days when he died, Ephesians 4:7. Let me read verse 8. That therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Haja alikangi robo tunas. He led captivity captive. That means that anything that can hold you a prisoner, Jesus made it a prisoner of him.
Hallelujah.
That means you cannot be a prisoner of bondage. And the Bible says that he who ascended, that means that he also first descended to the lower parts of the earth. That means he who descended is also the one who ascended. So Jesus, he descended. That means that hell that you are fearing, Jesus went there first. Number two, when he went there, he went and disarmed the principalities and powers. And Colossians 2:15 says that having disarmed the principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, we come to your house and we tell you, do you have a gun? Is there a gun in your house? And you say no. Then we say, let us check. And when we find the gun, we give you a slap.
Then
you look. will ask him, what is this?
They were like this,
laugh. Another cough.
Another cough.
And then they will take that gun. And then now you are left without any gun. That means that the devil,
to the believer, the city
has no gun. But if you are not a Christian, he will hammer you. He will beat you. He will harass you. He will not sleep at night. But because you have believed in Jesus, Jesus went and asked him, bring the gun. And he went and told the death, bring your power. And that is the third thing that Jesus did. He destroyed he who had the power of death. That means Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken in the blood, your flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. That means that he destroyed he who had the power of death. And it says, and release those who through fear of death were with all their lifetime subject to bondage. That means that Jesus went and set the captives free. That means that there were people in the prison of hell. Because before Jesus went and broke that, those that died before Jesus' death were not going to heaven. They were going to somewhere called Abraham's bosom. And they will stay there until Jesus came. And when Jesus came now, he set them free. And the last thing that Jesus did, he went and preached to the souls in prison. And this you'll read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 to 20. Preach to those who are disobedient in the time of Noah. That means that Jesus was not just sleeping in the grave. He was very busy. He was very busy. And now he was waiting for the resurrection. After he has just finished with the devil, now the Bible says, on the first day, hallelujah,
amen,
there was a big earthquake. And the Bible says an angel descended from heaven. And he rolled the stone.
But the leaves to hide the river.
And he sat on it.
Hello, but again if
and he sat on the stone.
Again if and the river.
But do you think it is the angel that raised Jesus from the dead? An angel is too weak. The angel was only coming to answer the prayer of the women. Because the women were asking, who will roll the stone away for us? Jesus did not need the angel. Because it is God himself who raised God from the grave. Hallelujah! Jesus said himself, I am the resurrection and the life. So Jesus got up himself. The Bible tells us that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible also tells us that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. So Jesus himself raised himself. The Father raised him.
him.
And
the Holy Spirit also raised him.
And
you can read those verses. That means God the Trinity raised Jesus from the dead.
And you see,
he did not need to be untied. He left the linen clothes. He just got up from it. Because he has a resurrected body. This body can pass through walls. How can it be tied by clothes? You see, passing through clothes and passing through walls, which one is hard? Which one is hard? The wall is hard. But he passed through the cloth. He just lifted from the linen. He just lifted from the linen. And he left it the way it was. Then there was a handkerchief.
Yeah,
as what that was put on top of his face. And Jesus took that handkerchief and he folded it.
Let me show you
what Jesus did. When his body was lying on the ground, they had put a handkerchief over his head like this. They tied everything and they put a handkerchief on his head. Now Jesus got up and left the linen and he picked the handkerchief. Think of Jesus. He has gotten up from the linen and he sees the handkerchief on top of it that was where his head was. And he takes it and he folds it. And he folds it very nicely. And he folds it nicely. And he puts it next to it where the linen was. Now I want you to understand that the Jews, when they come to eat in your house, when they are finished eating, you have a handkerchief that you have given them to wipe their hands. Now if someone is not happy with your food, he will just crumple the handkerchief and throw it on the table. Now you as the owner of the house, you will know that your guest was not happy with your food. But if the guest is happy with your food, and he says he will come again and eat again, what the guest will do, he will take the handkerchief that you gave him and he will fold it and fold it nicely and put it next to your plate. And when you see that, he's telling you, I will come again. So when Jesus folded the handkerchief and put it next to where the linen was, he is saying, I am coming back again. And Peter, when he entered the tomb, in the book of John, you will read, he says, when he saw the linen, and when John entered and he saw the linen, he saw the way that the body was tied, and they saw the handkerchief folded nicely next to the body. They understood. Jesus, he left the linen. He resurrected. And he folded the handkerchief. And he told them, I am coming again. Hallelujah! So when the women came, they saw inside. They saw the linen. But they did not see a body. That means the linen has collapsed. It is flat. The handkerchief is folded. And then they're wondering, where is Jesus? And the angel appears. and tell them, women, why do you look for the living among the dead? You are looking for the one who is living among the dead. Why are you looking for your child who is sick in the mortuary? If the child is sick, you won't look for him in the hospital. So he was telling them, you are in the wrong place. Jesus who is the resurrection and the life cannot be in the grave. He is alive. And he has going, he told them, go and tell my brothers that I will meet them in Galilee. And so Jesus, the women ran quickly. And they tell the men, Jesus was alive. We have seen that his body is not there.
And then it's Thomas.
Story from women. They don't believe the women. They don't believe women. Because the women were not educated in that time. They have not been educated in their time. In that time. So when a woman talks, they think it is just noise or chicken. They did not believe that what the women are saying. Whether they believe or they don't believe. Whether they believe you when you preach or they don't believe. Whether they don't believe that Jesus resurrected or not, it does not change the fact. Jesus is alive. He is resurrected. And he appears to Mary Magdalene.
Hello, baby, Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene is there.
Mary Magdalene.
Oh, and she's wondering, where have you taken my Lord? Tell me, where have you taken his body? And then Jesus calls her Mary. And when Mary heard the voice of Jesus, she knew this is not the gardener. Because she knows the voice of her Lord. I say, Rabboni. That means teacher. And she wants to hold on to the feet of Jesus. Don't cling to me. Because I have not yet ascended to
you.
Go and tell my brothers that I will meet them in Galilee. That means that Jesus ascended first. And when he ascended, he took the blood. He took the blood and he took it to heaven and he put it in the sanctuary that is not made by human hands. And that blood today speaks better things for us than the blood of heaven. And that was in the morning. So he took the blood and he comes back.
Hello, Rija.
Then he comes in the evening.
No, yes.
The same day.
Yes, I am dead.
In the evening, he finds two disciples walking to Emmaus. They walk into Emmaus.
No, the Emmaus.
And he asks them, what are you talking about? And I was
going to Sunuf.
And they said, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem?
I am in Jerusalem.
Are you new?
Is that did it?
Don't you know about Jesus? That he was the one who was, we thought he was the prophet. That he was going to deliver us. And he was handed over to the Romans. And the Romans had crucified him. And today, this morning, the women came from the grave. They
don't
find his body. And they told us funny stories. That Jesus resurrected. Are you the only visitor? You are the only visitor in Jerusalem. And they said, Jesus, okay. So Jesus starts telling them the scriptures. You see, the Bible says that Jesus will die. And on the third day he will resurrect. And he will resurrect. You see, do you
when they reach their place, Jesus tells them, you continue, me, I'm going like this.
No.
Jesus said, okay. And then they go to the temple. And they want to eat. And Jesus takes the bread. And he gives thanks. When he broke it, their eyes were open. Those things that were blocking their eyes.
They saw
this is Jesus.
And when they saw it's Jesus,
Jesus disappeared. Hallelujah! And they said, we cannot stay here. They had walked I don't know how many hours. They said, we have to go back to Jerusalem. And confirm to the disciples that Jesus is alive. And he has appeared to us. Hallelujah. Now there are some people called soldiers. When the angel came, they started shaking. Some of them fell. The Bible said they fell and became like dead men. Now these are just not normal soldiers. These are Roman soldiers. If you know who is a Roman soldier, a Roman soldier can fight with 100 men and kill them alone. These are trained from when they are children. They see this one looks like he will have strong muscles. They start training him to be a soldier. Now for them to see the angels. They collapsed and became like dead men. They said, please don't kill us. You can fight with flesh and blood, but not with spirit. And they ran away. After the angel left them, they ran away. And they went and told the chief priest. Angel came. Then they said, now, there's a problem. If we report you to the governor, to Pilate, that you allowed the body to disappear, you are going to be in trouble. Take some money. Take some pounds. Take some currency. Take some dollars. Go and say that the disciples came at night and stole the body of Jesus. And this way we will speak a good word for you. So their only excuse is that the disciples that don't have weapons, disciples that are fishermen, just 11 disciples came and defeated Roman soldiers. Now ask yourself, even if the disciples stole the body, when people commit murder, they struggle with one thing: to hide the body. That is the biggest question of any murderer. I am not a murderer, but I know. That is their biggest question. Where to hide the body? Some people hide it in septic tank. Some people will try to burn the body. Some people will use acid to dilute it.
Some people will bury it somewhere. Some people will throw it in a river. But even if you hide it in your house, something starts to smell. And when that smell is there, the neighbors will complain. And when they come and break the door, like happened here in Texas Hotel. Texas Hotel, in
it.
There's a young man went with a lady into the hotel. I don't know what happened, then the man killed the lady. And he hid the body under the bed. And after some time they smell. And then they find the body under the bed. So, if they are saying the disciples stole the body, where is the body? Where is the body? Because the Jesus himself appears to the disciples when they were in a closed room together. And they were filled. This must be a ghost. And Jesus said, fear no. I am Jesus.
I
am Jesus. I am touch. Hold me. A spirit does not have flesh and bone. Hold me. See my side. I am alive.
They
were still not believing. He said, okay. They have some food. Let us eat. They brought some fish. Jesus was a low man. He loved fish. Hallelujah! So you should eat like Jesus. Amen. Love fish and some bread. And they asked for fish. And they gave him fish and some honeycomb. And Jesus ate. And he told them, fear not. He told them, receive the Holy Spirit. And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And he told them, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And that was not enough. There's another man called Thomas who's missing. One week later, Jesus comes again. And he tells Thomas, come, touch! And he said, blessed are those who believe. And even though they have not yet seen. Because many people want to touch first. But if you believe today that Jesus is alive, you are blessed. You are blessed. Say, I am blessed of the Lord. I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in the countryside. I am blessed in the morning. I am blessed in the evening. I am blessed in my going out. I am blessed in my coming back. I am blessed in my work. I am blessed in my school. My future is blessed because I have believed in Jesus. Hallelujah! We don't serve a God who is dead. And on that day of judgment, everyone who has believed in him will go to heaven. If you have confessed Jesus, you have confessed him as Lord and Savior, you will enter into him into resurrection. But if you don't believe it, you just come to church, but you never accept Jesus. You have never even come forward to say, yeah, that I'm born again. You end up in the lake of fire. The choice is yours today. Do you believe in Jesus? Every evidence shows us that he is alive today. And how is he alive today? He lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And I want us to stand today that we have received the word of God. Hallelujah.